Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Once again, I want to welcome you to our services today. If you would take your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. As you find your place this morning, once again, I do want to say Happy Father's Day to all the men. And we want to keep that thought in mind today because our message is going to be reflecting on men, on fathers, and on the crisis that we have today in America pertaining to fathers. So, with Psalm 112 in our mind and in front of us today, let's go to God's Word and see what it says, and then we will move into the message. Psalm 112, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word. As I said, men, today is our day. Fathers are recognized today, and many will experience a full day of enjoyment and time with family and loved ones. That's good, and I hope each one of you have a terrific Father's Day. I plan on having one. But there is something that we need to face up to today. America is suffering from a man shortage. Every day, hundreds of thousands of men become fathers for the first time, but very few of them follow through on the calling of being a father. Let me give you an example. All of us have seen television programs, and we have seen examples of bad men and bad fathers. Fathers who cannot lead a family. Fathers are men who do not take their responsibility seriously. We see television programs that go beyond and above in the name of comedy to make fathers look like idiots or fools in front of the family and in front of children and in front of others around the world and everyone watching. But how long has it been since you've seen the example on television or anywhere in the media of a godly father, of a godly man? Very, very rarely do you see it. Occasionally on some of the older television programs that get rerun, you might see it. But on the new stuff that's coming out, very rarely do you see anything positive, anything godly, anything sincere placed out about a man taking a role of leadership in his home, a man taking on the role of a father and taking it seriously. It's troubling, the image that is put forth in America of the depiction of a man and the father and even the husband in a home. The media has no interest in promoting godly men or fathers in our society. There's no money in it. There's no ratings. There's no popularity or prosperity in it for them. Sadly, that's what drives the media interest. And unfortunately, so many of us have spent so much time in front of the television, what drives the media interest, what the media put before us, is what we take as role models. It's sad, but those are the role models that young men are growing up looking at today. They're seeing role models of immorality. They're seeing role models of irresponsibility. They're seeing role models of all kinds of ungodliness and all kinds of foolishness. Men, we need to understand what our responsibilities are. Fathers, we need to understand God's Word places some very heavy responsibilities on a father, but it also places some very high exaltations on those who take them seriously. And I don't know about you, but I had much rather be exalted by God's Word because I'm trying to live and seeking to live a life that God has called me to live than I had helper ratings of the Hollywood elites. That's what I want us to think about this morning. What does God want from a father? What does God want from you and I, men, to be fathers in our homes, to be leaders in our homes? What does He expect? What does He have to offer? What is God putting before us today? That this is your responsibility, but this is your reward. We've just covered it. And we're going to look at that for a little while this morning. And you can go much deeper in this if you'll take this passage and apply it for some good reading today on Father's Day. Maybe this evening when the cookouts are done, when the cake has been eaten, when the children have gone and they're gone back home, or you're putting them, tucking them away in bed, and you're sitting there and you've got a little bit of time on your hands. Instead of turning on the television, open this back up to Psalm 112. Spend a little bit of time there and let God work deeper in your heart and in your life. But for this morning, we have to realize and understand that, men, we can't just stand before our children and preach right and wrong to them and then turn around and let them experience us living it in a totally different way. We can't say one thing and do something different. Children don't work like that. They hear what we say, but they also watch what we do. God expects us to be a living example of His Word. He expects us to be a living example in the home of His Word. If we talk to our children about being honest, about being truthful, if we talk to our children about doing the right thing for the right reason, then we had better be doing it ourselves. Because if we're not, I promise you, they're going to pick up on it. And they're not going to follow what we say, they're going to follow what we do. If we give them the impression it's okay to say one thing and do another, how long is it going to be before the children bring that into the home and start playing it out in their relationship with mom and dad? It will happen. It's sad to say, but the reality is there. It will happen. So this morning, four things out of this passage I want to share with you. Four things that we can walk away with today in seeing the view of a godly father and the rewards that come with it. First, notice with me that men today need to acknowledge the power of your influence. Men, you are an ordained leader of your home. Now, I don't say that to be sexist this morning, but there God has established man and woman, husband and wife, and he has established and ordained each in some practical roles for the home. That's right there in his word. That's not me and my ideas and my thoughts and my ideology this morning. It's God's word. And men, we have some influence in the home. It's time that men step up and assume that responsibility once again. It's time that we step up and take on the role of being a father, take on the role of being a husband. If we have got failures and faults in our past, put them under the blood, repent of them, get godly forgiveness for them, and step aside from them and get away from them and quit repeating them. I don't know how often I talk to men, young men and men my age, who are talking about the lives that they live, who are talking about the cycles that they're into, some of the immoral and some of the just socially bad cycles that they're involved with today. And they talk about how they know they're bad, and they talk about how they know they need to put them aside. And they talk about how they want to, but they just keep going right back. They keep going right back. Well, guess what? And I'm going to use this as an example, and only as an example. But if a man is addicted to alcohol, if they can't control alcohol, and if they go to a bar to socialize with people, guess what they're going to wind up doing? They're going to wind up drinking. If you can't handle alcohol, and if you can't handle being around it, you don't go socialize in the places where it's at. If you can't handle being around the temptations of immorality, you don't go socializing where it's going to be at and where it's going to be available. If we're going to be responsible for the influence that we have in our families, we have to start making some sound decisions regarding the places that we are putting ourselves. Because the places that we put ourselves works in the decisions that we make in our life, which works in what we bring back into our homes, which works into what we example in front of our children. And I think that you see the route that we're going there now. We are to be a godly influence. And if we are to be a godly influence, we need to be putting ourselves in the places where God can work in our lives. We need to be spending time in His Word. How many men are sitting down with their children and reading the Bible? How many men are letting their children, their grandchildren, see them read the Bible? How about hear them pray? Hear them call upon God. Hear them seek the directions and the Word of God in their life. It's not something for the old television programs. It's something for the old paths of the Word of God, for men to become leaders and get back into the influence that they're supposed to have in their home. One pitfall that keeps us from it is my second point. We have to avoid the pitfalls of masculinity. Well, I'm a man. Real men don't do these. Real men don't go to church on Sunday. I've been told that. Real men don't pray. I've been told that. Real men don't cry. I've been told that. It's pride. We let our pride build up our masculinity. We let the media build up our pride. We let them and what goes on in the world give a picture and a portrayal of who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to dress like, what we're supposed to talk like, who we're supposed to be. And before it's all said and done, they are shaping everything in our lives, and nothing is coming back to God. Nothing's coming back to God's Word. Nothing's coming back to what God wants in our life. Let me remind you of something in Scripture. Pride goeth before the fall. If you want to know how do I know whether I'm getting ready to fall, how do I know when I'm getting ready to hit rock bottom? When pride takes you so far away from the Word of God and takes you so far away from God's influence in your life that your life is a picture of the world and not a picture of God, you're getting ready to hit rock bottom. The wheels are getting ready to come off of the apple cart, as it were. We need to avoid these pitfalls. Men, if we're going to have the power of our influence in our home, and if we're going to have the power and the authority of a godly figure and a godly father, we have got to get rid of these pitfalls and the pride of masculinity and what the world tells us a man should be. It's okay for a man to pray. As a matter of fact, a man should be praying. A man should be praying and letting his children and letting his wife see him pray. A man should be reading the Bible at home. A man should be letting his children hear it. A man should be sharing that time with his wife. It should be a thing of leadership where the man says, turn that TV off, let's all gather together and let's open the Bible and let's talk about some stuff. It's not about how deep you can go with it. It's not about how theologically or doctrinally sound or round it is. It's just about you and you're sharing your time and you're opening God's Word and you're sharing some Scripture in your family and you're using it to talk and to discuss things with. It's a matter of lifting God up and letting Him have His way, and you'll be surprised to see what happens in your home. You'll be surprised to see what happens in your life, men. You'll be surprised what happens when you become and start practicing the role of a father as given from the Word of God. Well, next, men, we need to arrange our priorities. Men have a real bad habit of getting priorities mixed up. What should be our first priority? Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but the Bible gives us the only one that works, and that's God. You may have thought, well, it should be my family, it should be my wife, it should be my children, it should be this. If God's not your first priority in your life, then nothing else is going to work. It won't. God has to be your first priority. God has to be what's most important to you. And the only way that's going to happen is with a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you should have a desire in your heart and in your life to have God as first place in your life. Because if God is first place in your life, then the family is going to be right where it's supposed to be. The family is going to be growing. The family is going to be gaining ground spiritually, and you're going to be heading toward being the leader that God wants you to be, man. You're going to wind up going to be a father, a godly father figure. And if God is your first priority, and then it's building and developing your family, then the next one that comes behind it is going to be church. Because if God is your top priority and your family is growing through your relationship with God and your leadership as a godly father, that's not going to be well-rounded and those dots aren't going to be connected unless you have your family solidly and firmly in church. You can't, and I hear this a lot, and to a point, there's a very sound and truthful argument to it. Well, I don't have to be in church in order to be a Christian or to worship God. Now, there's some truth to that, but there's also a great big thing of pride that comes with it, where we're talking about the masculinity earlier. If you're a child of God, if God is your top priority, then worship as the body of Christ. If you're a child of God, you are part of the body of Christ. That's the church. And you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to be content, and you're not going to be growing, and you're not going to be where you are unless you're in God's people and among God's people every opportunity you can be there. Your family's not going to be where it should be. Your life is not going to be where it should be unless your body and your heart and your mind is where you're at, where you're supposed to be in church. Learning and growing from God's Word. Letting it speak in your life. That's a godly father. And then it comes down to your job. If you're going to manage and handle your job and your work correctly, the only way you're going to know how to make those good decisions on the job is if God's first and you're working and you're working for your family and you're involved in your church, then your work life is going to be where it is supposed to be. I see too many families torn apart because men and women get into workplace romances and it heads off, and that's what controls their lives. That's what controls their lives. But yet when you talk to them, well, I'm just as much of a Christian as anybody else. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, I could argue from God's Word, there's a very good chance that you're not nowhere close to being saved. Because if you were, you would have some sincere convictions about what you're doing, and instead of building on it and bragging over it, you'd be on your face in front of God in an altar crying about it, trying to get repentance for it. Work has got its place in the priorities and in the structures of a person's life, especially a man's life, but it's not number one. We've got to have a job. We've got to make a living. We've got to pay bills. We've got responsibilities. Those responsibilities, though, are met under the authority of God. We have to be a godly father figure. Society today, the world today, would have us, everyone, believe the only way to be successful, the only way to have a good family, is by the amount of income that you pay taxes on every year. The job title and the salary that goes with it. I learned a long time ago, if I just didn't worry about all that stuff and I put God first, God would let all this other stuff take care of itself. And you know what? You can tell by looking at me, I've not missed a meal. You can tell that God has given me, has blessed me with a nice home to live in. God has blessed me with a nice family. God has blessed me in so many ways. But He has been put first. And God wants to do it in others' lives as well. And men, if we take the opportunity and we put God first and we try and we seek God to be the godly father figure in our home that He wants, we will have our priorities right. And ourself will be at the bottom of the list. Not because you're not important. Not because you don't have your things of enjoyment. Not because of that. And it's not because they're trying to make you out to be some type of a martyr for humility. It's just the way that we'll place ourselves. We will take our wants and we'll put them where they need to be, at the bottom of the list. We'll put the needs of life that come from godly fatherhood in the places they should be, which is number one. And that starts with God. I said there were four. Number four is, if we're going to be a godly father, we're going to assume the place of our responsibilities. In other words, we're going to take the lead in everything. Those things that are successful and those things that are failures. You know what makes someone successful? Failing. you try, you fail, you can do one of two things. You can sit there and say, that's it. I tried, it didn't work. Or you can back up. You can back up and you can look at it and you can say, what did I do wrong? And you can move right back into it and start correcting things. And keep trying and keep working. That's the way it is in all of our lives. Men, that's the way it is in our life. It doesn't matter if it's our walk with God. It does not matter if it's something in our family, something in our church, something in our work, something in our personal lives. We take responsibility for the successes and the failures. We take the failures and we prayerfully seek God to help turn them into successes. We assume the place of being that responsible party. There are men today who have children fathered and they will not touch child support. They're not married to the mothers, but they won't touch child support. They're always on the run. They're always on the lam. They're always being hunted down and tracked down. They won't take responsibility for anything that's happened in their lives. Those aren't godly father figures. Men, we can be the next generation. Verse 6 says, and surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Verse 5 says that he shows favor, which is mercy, and he lendeth, which is accompanying. God will guide his affairs with discretion. We're going to be responsible, God. We're going to allow God to guide us. And that's what I want to encourage men to do today. Fathers, find the spot, find the time, find the place where God is in total control of your life and where you put him there. And let him maintain that control. And I know we watch and we see all kinds of things on television that really, really look cool. Dad's going, man, I'll look really cool in front of my kids if I can do this. I'll look really cool in front of my kids if I can do that. I'll look really cool if I don't do this, or I'll look really cool if I don't do that. Let me give you some advice, some things that I have learned, or something I learned from experience. Being a parent, being a dad, isn't about being your child's best friend. It's about being your child's parent. Sometimes you gotta do what's right as a parent, even when it's not cool in the eyes of the kids. Sometimes it's just making that decision. Sometimes it's just seeing what's right and doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time. That's why we need God's Word guiding our lives. That's why we need God's Word moving inside of us and leading us and guiding us and directing. That's why God has to be first. I hope God's first in your life today. I hope God takes that place at the top. And I hope His Word is strong and embedded and an anchor in your life and in your home and in your family. I really hope that today. But if it's not, then today can be the day that you come to God and you set things right and put Him in His place. Today can be that day. Don't worry about what yesterday was. Yesterday is gone. What will tomorrow be like? If God leaves you here for tomorrow, what will tomorrow be like? If you're not where God wants you today before you leave, get in that spot. If God has not got the place in your life that He wants and that He needs to be the leader, to be the direct, have the direction in your life that He wants, Get him there. Get him there now. Verse 1 and 2 sums it all up. Praise ye the Lord. You can't praise him. I can't praise him unless he is the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That fear is not a fear that says, I'm trembling and I'm shaking because I'm afraid I'm going to get struck by lightning. No, that's a fear of reverence. A fear, a reverence of knowing where God is and the position he holds in our life. And then we see that man delighteth greatly in his commandments. We enjoy, we desire, we yearn for the commandments of God, the Word of God. We want the Word of God in our lives. We want it directing us. We want it leading us. Verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. If we have it right in our heart, and we are seeking it according to God's word, we will raise a generation that will be blessed. Because our children will see it in our life. They will experience it through our lives. And dads, that experience and that example that we have is the example that's going to bring this nation back to revival. It's going to start in the homes of the church members. And it's going to start by godly fathers leading their families in the things that he wants as godly father figures. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Men, are we ready to step up? Are we ready to be the responsible, godly leader that he wants, that God wants from you and I in this country? As we move through this day and we experience all of the joy, all of the wonder that it brings, let's also reflect on the influence that we have in those, in the lives of those around us. How we behave ourselves in the presence of others and how we behave in the presence of God does matter. It also impacts the generation that we're bringing up. Are we showing them that God is at the top, or he's just simply a choice? I pray that men will step up as godly examples in America. Examples that will turn this country around, will turn us around in revival. Let's pray.